What's up, guys? Kevin Allen here, aka The Geek from DFS Army, and this is your DraftKings NFL Week 1 first look. We're going to go through the DraftKings salaries for Week 1 across all the position groups, just go through some of our favorite picks, some of my top plays, and we'll put together a first early look lineup. Obviously, it is still early in the week. There's still lots of news to come out, projections, player props, all kinds of stuff that will help us make our final decisions are yet to come. But for now, we're going to get our first look. And actually, since this is week one of the season, I want to do a little special, let's call it intro to this breakdown. Where rather than getting into the plays right away, I want to talk a little bit about contest selection for DraftKings for this season. One of the big things I hear a lot in the comments of my videos and things like that is how tough it is to win the Millie Maker and these big contests. We've done a lot of content this offseason focused around, you know, tournaments and how to attack giant tournaments and how to try to beat them. So what I wanted to start this one off with was a little discussion of contest selection and how you can actually be a profitable player on DraftKings in 2023. And let me make the screen large here and just show you the types of contests that I think you should be focused on in 2023. First of all, of course, there are cash games, and not enough people are taking advantage of these cash games, in particular, low dollar cash games. And let me explain what I mean. I'm an experienced DraftKings player, been doing this for a long time, right? And I am someone who is locked out of all contest types below the $5 entry. So notice when I click on the double up screen here, I don't even see any contests that show up below $5. They don't show up on my screen. The reason is sharks are restricted from these type of contests. So the under $5 level, especially in head-to-heads, but also double-ups, is one area where you can actually be profitable in 2023. You can experience wins. Your bankroll could go up. And really, I want to focus my videos and my content for people who want to be profitable. Listen, it's fine if you want to throw a couple of lotto tickets into the Millie Maker, or even if as part of the way I do it, is as part of my mix of entries, I do like to max out a contest. Generally, it's not for me. I don't do the Millie Maker. I'll do the Flea or some maybe smaller contest with better structure. The Millie Maker's giving $1 million out of a $2.5 million prize pool to first place is not a structure I like. I don't like contests that pay out 40% of the prize pool to one person. I think it's very difficult to make money in those unless you win, which is really, really hard to do. So instead of that, we want to focus on head-to-heads, particularly head-to-heads that are the $3, $2, and $1 variety. Now, one important note, and I'm going to show you how to do this on screen here. When you create that contest, this is the most important part. When you're creating your NFL head-to-heads, right? So we're going to set up a classic. We're going to pick, you know, pick a game. We're going to go public, right? And here's where head-to-head, let's say we're doing the $3 contest, right? And we're trying to build, make 50 lineups in the three. You want to set the number of times that a person can play against you to one. So I hope you can see that on the screen. This is very, very important. So when you set up this contest, you want to have, I suggest maxing out, starting with the $1, then the $2, then the $3. And here's what happens when you max out these contests. Number one, you get a range of opponents. You don't get the same person over and over and over again, which means you'll go up against effectively 50 different lineups at whatever dollar amount you choose. The reason that's important to do is because even in weeks where you don't have a great score, that might a score that might not win 50-50s as an example, it might be just under the double up line, you'll still win, you know, 30-40% of these head-to-head. So you'll experience the flavor of winning. You'll get a good chunk of your money back even on the not so great weeks, but on the best weeks you will you'll get back a lot of your money. And again, part of the reason why this is important is because when you combine something like this with tools that we have over at DFS Army, and I'll point out some of the tools we have for cash games, like the chalkboard that shows you who the chalk is that week. You want to embrace the chalk in cash games, or the optimizer, the domination station optimizer, where you could pretty much, you know, select a QB that you like, just lock them in and run an optimal lineup. And that will be a pretty good cash lineup most weeks. Just select a player or two that you really love from the notes and just run an optimal. You'll get a pretty decent to good optimal lineup every single week. So this is a great contest type to attack. And I want you to focus a good chunk of your bankroll each week on those head-to-heads. The next type of contest that I want you to pay attention to are what are called the hundos. Okay, and I'm just going to bring that up here so you could see. I love the hundos. They just are appropriate for every sort of salary level. And here, all right, so here we're showing these $10 hundos. And I want to show you this. So it's a 100-person contest. $10 entry on this particular one. Although, as we get close to the season, you'll have these at all the different salary levels. And it pays out $140 to first. That's 15%. So not only does this contest have an incredible structure where 22 people get paid, top 20% are at worst doubling their money. And if you hit first place, that is a nice 14X on your money, which is great. But you're only up against 100 people. This is a much more winnable size contest. Now, it doesn't have to be a hundo. There are mini gridirons and all these different ones, different contests, though, that run between 75 to 300 or 400 entrants. And that's the sweet spot for small tournaments. You don't have to discover the impossible to find gem that you need in the Millie Maker to actually win these. And you should be able to win a couple of these over the course of a season, which will pay for your whole season. So please, there are profitable ways to attack DraftKings. And I will say very clearly that the most profitable way is definitely not exclusively, which what most people do, is exclusively attack the giant contest. And that is just not going to work. People who come in and see this fantasy football millionaire and it's 1.2 million entrants and $5 to enter, and you enter it and you put a bunch of money and you wonder, hey, why didn't I make money? Why didn't I show a profit at the end? Of course not. This is a gimmick contest. It's not designed for you to be profitable in. None of these giant contests, when you see any contest with 300 or 500,000 or 50,000 entrants, just understand those are gimmicks. They're fun to play, but they're lotto tickets. So that's my rant to start this one off. I want you to play profitably. If you want to understand more about how to be a profitable player on DraftKings, make sure to check out the video, How to Be Profitable on DraftKings, that I put out right here on the DFS Army YouTube channel. You can check out at any time. I've also got a great video on 3-max versus tournament versus cash game strategies and how to differentiate your lineups across those. So check that out as well. And now without further ado, let's get into the actual lineup breakdown. And I'm going to open up our DraftKings screen here and take a look at the player positions. Actually, before we dive in, I'm going to do a quick glance here at the Domination Station Optimizer over at DFS Army and these game tiles. And this will give us a sense of which games we might want to target for week one. And I'm just going to do a brief overview on a couple that stand out here. Of course, we got the Bengals at the Browns, and this has a 47.5-point game total with the Browns, with the Bengals installed as slight road favorites. Bengals have a 25-point team total. And note here that the team total is important. We want to target players from teams with high team totals. That's pretty much fantasy sports boiled down into a very basic nutshell. So Bengals on the road makes Burrow and his weaponry an interesting target potentially for our lineups this week. Ravens, 26.5-point team total, but non-competitive game. This one's interesting. Lamar Jackson debuting in this new high-powered offense could be very, very exciting. We've seen Lamar do incredible things at times, but normally if this was last season's Ravens, they do need pressure from the opposing offense for the Ravens offense to kick it into full gear. So I'm not sure we're going to see that in this one. We've got the Jaguars at the Colts, 45-point total. It's middling, but the Jaguars have a 24.75 team total, which is really, really good. So Jaguars offense is interesting, but I also really like their defense in this one. Another offense, I guess to keep an eye on here would be the Vikings, also over 25-point team total, which is what we're looking for. They're taking on the Bucs. Vikings are at home. I could see it. I could see it. Certainly Justin Jefferson and crew are of interest, and Alexander Mattison and the whole deal. A couple other games that stand out, or team totals at the very least. I think this Packers Chicago game has a lot of potential, even though it's got a middling 43.5 point game total. The spread is fairly tight, and I just think that Vegas doesn't really understand or isn't doing a good job of pricing this game. Love, we don't know what we're going to get from Jordan Love and the Packers, and Fields, I think, is going to level up from where he was last year, especially with DJ Moore on the team. So I kind of like this game to play out above the projection. Couple other spots here. We've got the game of the week, which would be the Dolphins at the Chargers. That's got a 50.5 point total, fairly close spread. I actually think the Dolphins are going to pour it on here, which might cause the Chargers to have to pour it on in response. According to our offseason study, we definitely want to favored quarterbacks in games like this, where my natural instinct says Tua, but the numbers that we've studied all offseason say Herbert is the play. So we'll see what goes on there. And of course, we've got a nice team total here for the Eagles as well as Seattle in that game. So, you know, Hurts, Geno, Herbert, Fields, maybe Cousins, Lamar, maybe Burrow, maybe Lawrence, maybe. So that's sort of what stands out here on initial look. A couple of defenses. So I'll talk about it when we go over the defense position. But with defense this week, we really just want to focus on teams that are going up against the neophyte quarterback. So actually, for our build, I'm going to start with defense, and we're going to move on. So looking at NFL Week 1 defenses on DraftKings, here we go. Starting with, we'll start at the bottom with the Texans, no. At Baltimore, no. Bucks at Minnesota, no. Raiders, probably not. Colts, no. Dolphins, no. Cardinals, no. Titans at the Saints, no. I don't really get, you know, the Saints with Derek Carr, probably not going to be a turnover team, so that's not a place I want to go. Browns, no. Panthers, maybe. So I would say the Panthers are probably the cheapest viable because they're taking on the Falcons with Des Ridder, and, you know, can't really trust Des Ridder. He's only had a couple games of experience. So that's one that's interesting. But the first team here that I'm going to target on a defense wise, and the one that stands out the most for me at the bottom level, are the Commanders. They are taking on Arizona, a tanking Arizona team. Arizona doesn't seem interested at all in winning games. I think it's going to be Josh Dobbs at QB. That's not a good scene. So give me the Commanders here against a sort of inexperienced or potentially mistake-prone quarterback. That's where you get points on our defense. I'm just rolling through the rest of the defenses real quick. Some other ones that might stand out a little bit. I'm going to say the Falcons against Bryce Young, another neophyte quarterback, definitely a spot to consider. I love the Jaguars here at 3,500 going up against Anthony Richardson and the Colts. Colts don't have Jonathan Taylor. I don't know what the Colts are going to do in this game to try to make it not be a complete destruction. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. That is a bet I really like. I like the Jaguars week one, but I also like the Jaguars defense in this spot. Probably my favorite play, but I don't want to pay up from 2,800. So I'm going to stick with the Commanders. The other defense that stands out a little bit here are the Ravens at home against Houston. So any one of those are good, but I'm going with the cheapest of the crew, the Commanders, as the defense for our initial build. All right, next up, let's pick a quarterback for this lineup. But as we're doing that, we're going to go through the quarterback position as a whole on DraftKings and talk about potential stack options, which quarterbacks I think are viable this week, and how we might stack them up. So starting at the top, I think we have I'm going to call this a trio because they're all really similar. Jackson, Hurts, and Fields, they're all priced about the same. These are all running QBs. Every single one of these teams has a solid team total as well. Now, there are some differences with Hurts and Jackson not likely to be involved in games that are competitive, where Fields looks like he will be in a very competitive game. So, you know, choosing between these three, it's really interesting. Jalen Hurts was far and away the best of them in 2022. He was the best of them. There's no questioning that. The Eagles are also the least likely of these teams to lean heavy on the running back to do their scoring. That doesn't mean it won't happen here. They've got Penny. They've got Gainwell. They've got Swift. They got all Boston Scott. They got so many people. I don't even know who's starting for the Eagles at running back. But generally, they don't lean heavy on the running back for their scoring. It usually winds up scoring via Hurts. Where Baltimore and Chicago both have more potential to lean on the running back, especially Baltimore. I think that's a Dobbs game. Dobbins? Yeah, J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins game for Baltimore. So of this trio, I'm gonna slot Jalen Hurts in there for now. And then we'll see if that's what we want to stick with on the final build. But I'm good with any of those three quarterbacks. I'd probably order them Hurts, Fields, and Jackson, with Jackson being my least favorite, but still very viable in week one. If I was playing Lamar, I would absolutely be stacking him with either Mark Andrews or Zay Flowers. But quite honestly, even Odell and any of them are viable. There's a lot of weapons on Baltimore. We kind of have to see how things shake out over there. With Fields, I think it's a little simpler. A field stack would either be Cole Kmet or DJ Moore or both. Generally, with these running QBs, I only want to force a stack with one of their pass catchers, but you know, could build a lineup with two, especially if we're going to hand craft that lineup. I could certainly happily build it with two. As we move down the list, Joe Burrow at Cleveland. Sure, why not? I want to try to find his Cleveland games from last year to see how he did. Not a great game in week 14. I sort of have a memory of him. Yeah, and not a great game in week 8. So Cleveland, I have this memory of Cleveland kind of having Joe Burrow's number. And at least last season they did. So I'm a little hesitant here to go with Joe, especially coming off the injury. Herbert, this is a great spot for Herbert. Herbert did not have a great fantasy season in 2022. Can he bounce back this year? I think it's possible. You know, Mike Williams was hurt for a lot of the season last year. They just lacked some weaponry. Austin Eckler was taking a lot of the touchdowns in a lot of these big games and sort of causing difficulty for Herbert's scoring. But if you take a look, I mean, 16, 18, 16, 7, 13.5, 22, 21, 28, 20. So the only time the only game where maybe this might have been potentially a tournament winner was this one game. But realistically, at this price point, the 7K level, even a 28, 714, that's just keeping you in line. That's really not blowing anybody out of the water. And if we go back for the rest of the season last year, you'll see just one other foray into the 28. Did not cross 30 fantasy points even once. So that's concerning for me. I don't think you can fully rely on Herbert to have the same kind of ceiling as we've seen out of Fields and Lamar and Hurts, where they're well, and Mahomes and those type of players, where they're well into the 30s and occasional, you know, high 30s, early low 40s type scores, which are much more justifiable for this type of salary. Because the thing is, at 28 fantasy points at 7K, we might be able to find, you know, a cheaper QB that pretty much does the same thing. And if that happens, then that will wipe out any benefits. So we really need, if we're going to play these kind of expensive QBs, we need them to put up 28 plus, not peak at 28. So that's the issue I have with Herbert right there. Tua, I think Tua is a great play here. The only negative is his team is an underdog. Outside of that, I think Tua is great. He's super easy to stack. You stack him with both of his weapons, Hill and Waddle, in the ideal situation. Miami has one of the most focused offenses in the NFL. So he just really throws to those two guys. And so you just stack him with both, which I think is viable here. Love Tyreek this week in general. And if I need to save some money at QB, I might go down to there. I already talked about Lawrence a little bit. I like the spot, but I like spot better for Jacksonville defense. Cousins in a good spot. So is Geno. If I'm playing Cousins, I am forcing two of his pass catchers into that lineup. Same thing with Geno. Geno plus two. These guys do not run for touchdowns almost at all. So, and at this price, for them to win you a tournament, they probably need to drag a second person across the line. Now, if this is a smaller contest and not a giant contest like the Slant, which I pulled up here, I might be able to get away with a stack plus one. But if I'm winning a Millie Maker or some giant contest with these quarterbacks, they have to do enough to really drag two of their pass catchers across the finish line with them. Geno Smith at home against the Rams, totally viable play. I don't know about Stafford or Richardson. Going in this cheaper zone, there's two QBs that stand out for me in the pay down zone. One of them is, as crazy as it sounds, Jordan Love. I mean, why not? 5K, looked good in his one start last season. It has Christian Watson. Aaron Jones is a pass catcher, so plenty of pass catchers for him to work with. The other one is Sam Howell. I know it seems crazy, but And I know I already have Commanders defense in there, but Sam Howell, he's a mobile quarterback. In his one start last year, he did fine throwing the football, like nothing special, 11 for 19, but this was against Dallas, right? I know it was the Dallas backups, but still, I think it was probably the backups week 18, but they ended up winning 26-6. I was more impressed by the rushing, 5 rushes, 35 yards, and a touchdown for Sam Howell in that game. If he keeps that up and just gets us 35, 40 rushing yards and a touchdown, that's already 10 fantasy points. Now he only has to get you 10 with his arm. And that gets us, and to get a 20, which would be 4X his salary. So if he were to get 20 and 4X his salary and did it a little bit with the legs, you're golden. You've saved enough over these expensive QBs, say 3K. Can apply that to a wide receiver, go from a mediocre wide receiver to Tyreek Hill or somebody who's a stud, right? Now, take it another level. What if he runs for that touchdown, but also gets you 15 passing fantasy points? Yeah, I get it. He's Sam Howell, but he's going up against an Arizona team that is tanking. So he could, if he gets to 25, he might be the QB that actually wins the tournament. Even if it's not the highest scoring QB on the slate, he hit 5X his salary. I think he's might be a safe cash game play. I know it sounds crazy. This might be a safe pay down option in cash games. Not saying to do it. It's early in the week. I'm just pointing it out just in case I'm right, so I can clip this and be like, hey, called it. Anyway, we're going to go with Jalen Hurts, though, for this relatively safe lineup that we're going to build. Again, I'm really comfortable with Fields as well. Either way, all good. If it was Fields, the stack will look a little different. Hurts, the stack is a little more expensive. Fields, you can get a slightly less expensive stack. So that is a factor for me as well. Just keep it in mind. But I've already built some Fields lineups in the offseason, so I want to kind of switch it up a little bit here and go with Hurts in this one. All right. We've got our defense. We've got our QB. Let's go to the tight end position. I'm going to stack up Hurts with his tight end, Dallas Goedert here. Nothing to say. Goddard's in a good spot. It could be Goddard. We can go with, you know, A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith as stack partners. But, you know, we need to get a tight end in there. So I'll throw Goddard in here. Looking at the rest of the tight end position, of course, Andrews is tied more to Lamar, but very inexpensive price for Mark Andrews. Hockenson just got paid. He should be great. He should have a great season. Love him as well. Not so high on Kittle when all of the weapons are available for San Francisco and Higbee. I don't get this one. Ingram is a little expensive here with all those weapons on Jacksonville. Dalton Schultz should have it. I kind of like him this year, but not this week. You know, if we were playing Fields, maybe Cole Kmet and some standalone options at tight end. I really love, if we weren't playing Goddard, which we don't have to, we'll see. We might change it up. I really love Njoku. I like the spot for him. I love him this season. And Greg Dulcich as well looks like a very playable tight end in a week where we might not have Jerry Jeudy, so they're going to need to throw to somebody. At the very low end at tight end, I guess I take a look at, you know, Irv Smith Jr., who's now the sort of official TE1 for the Bengals. Could be an interesting spot at 3,600, so there's some nice value in that play. And I don't really see, yeah, the other guy that I kind of like, actually, I might switch it up here. I don't mind Hayden Hurst. If we're going to punt tight end all the way down, Word out of Carolina camp is that it's all about Hayden Hurst in the red zone. That's who they throw to. As a matter of fact, I'm going to switch this up, and I am going to go with Hayden Hurst because I would like to put a very cheap tight end in here. I think we'll this will allow us to play Devontae or AJ Brown in the lineup without too much trouble. So I'm actually going to switch that one up and go with Hayden Hurst based on the camp reports of him being this target in the red zone for touchdowns. Let's see if we can get a touchdown out of Hayden Hurst in this lineup. All right, let's jump over to the running back position now. NFL Week 1 DraftKings running back position. And starting at the top, we've got Christian McCaffrey, $8,700. Just a little too expensive for what he brings to the table most weeks. You know, Christian McCaffrey in weeks when Eli Mitchell was healthy just was not smashing in 2023. The team tends to want to mix him in with Eli quite a bit. They'll bring in Deebo for a run or two. So McCaffrey at this salary will need 36 fantasy points just to hold pace. And if you look at the entirety of last season, he hit 40 one week. I'm not even sure he was on the 49ers yet. He might have been, probably was, but I can't remember. But after that one occasion, you know, he never really sniffed. He got this 34, which would have been fine, acceptable, but not blow you out of the water for this score. And then every other week he would have disappointed. So to me, even in the playoffs when they had every reason to go crazy with his usage, you see here he was up 20, 25. And that's a perfectly reasonable expectation. But at 9K, we need 36 fantasy points to keep on the 4X pace. So whereas he's probably an acceptable cash game play, pay up option, I'm not going to use him in my tournament lineup. He just would need to score just so many points to make value. I don't think that's worth it. Austin Eckler, also an interesting play, but very expensive, and he's going to have to get you this 35-level ceiling game in order to be there. I think it's fine, but there are so many great values at running back this week. I'm not sure we need to pay all the way up here. Chubb, $8,200, similar story, probably less good than the other two. Bijan, I am a fan. I'm a big fan of Bijan. I don't mind playing him here this week. But again, 8K. Show me before I'm ready to pay 8K, especially on a week one where there are so many great values available cheaper at running back that we'll get into. I'm probably going to go three running back this week on DraftKings because of the value at the position. But normally I tend to use two running backs and four wide receivers. But this week, we're probably going to go three in this lineup. So continuing on, Derrick Henry at the Saints. Fine. Jacobs. Sure, $7,700. This guy was a beast last year. No reason to go away from it. But again, 8, 16, 24, 32. So he, at this price, he really does need to put up a smash game. I don't think we saw. Yeah, we got a few of these 30-pointers, four of them last year. So he's salaried fine, but we will need a ceiling game out of him to make it work. Ramondre, 7K. I'm not in love with that. A couple spots here, though, I do like. Travis Etienne, now we're getting under 7K. We're in a game where the Jacksonville should smash defensively. Perfectly acceptable play. Mixon, same deal, $6,800. Joe Mixon, no competition for touches. No one else there. It's all Joe. Now, Joe did not have a great year last year, but had some good games. We need about 28 fantasy points at $6,800 to hold. Tournament winning pace. We had the 58-pointer last season. Didn't do a whole lot after that, but if you look at the volume he had, he never, when he got the 20 carries, he got you the numbers that you wanted. There was a volume issue last year. Here's another 22 carries, 17 carry game, gets you the 20 points. Whenever the volume was there for Joe Mixon, you know, he delivered. So he generally delivered when the volume was there. And I think the volume is going to be there for him week one. They just don't have anybody else at the position. So keeping him in mind, ETN, keeping him in mind. J.K. Dobbins, sure, I already talked about how I think this could be a Dobbins game. I don't think Dobbins will be very highly owned. He's a touchdown machine. I really like this spot for J.K. Houston is just a team you want to attack with opposing running. But look at the 32. That's telling you something. This is a team you want to attack with opposing running backs. I don't like these guys. Madison, I think, is okay. At home at 6,500, totally playable here. Cam Akers, I don't mind at 6,200. We're going to get to some guys I really love. Javonte Williams, man, if I knew he was getting a full workload, I'd be really excited for him. But the first player we are going to plug in our lineup is Jamal Williams. 5K, catches passes, runs for touchdowns. No competition on the team for touches. This is a really good spot. We could play Jamal Williams all day for the first couple of weeks until Kamara comes back. So I'm taking advantage of the underpricing on Jamal. Now, moving up the list, Raheem Mostert is supposed to be the starter for Miami, but do I trust them? The answer is no. I don't really trust them. I don't trust Raheem Mostert to stay healthy, even for a game, forget about a season. But I also don't trust that if I knew for a fact that he would get 20, 25 touches, I think he's very much in play. And he is in play this week at 5,400, but I don't want to put him in this particular lineup. Instead, I'm going to go with Rashad White as my second running back. And again, I like to play the least expensive running backs that I think are viable, that are going to get a lot of touches. I'm really just focused on opportunities with the running back position as much as possible. And I think both of these running backs will get us 20 plus touches. You might not like Tampa. You might not like Baker Mayfield, but Baker Mayfield does check down to the running back. He has produced quality running backs all the way back to his time in Cleveland. Quality production from the running back position. Minnesota can't stop anything. So I really like Rashad White week one for 5,500. And in the flex, we'll revisit what we want to do, but we might put in a stud running back or wide receiver. We'll see what we get to when we get there. But of course, we talked about Mixon, Etienne, Dobbins, Madison. These are all great candidates for that final running back. Even Cam Akers, really great candidates for their final running back spot. And we'll get to that at the end. All right. Now let's talk wide receiver. And the first thing I want to do is find a stack mate for Hayden Hurst, for Jalen Hurts, that is. And I'm going to go with Devontae Smith here. You know, New England is really good about, you know, taking out your top guy, which is probably in their mind, AJ Brown. So I'm just going to go with what people think are the number two guy. But technically, Devontae Smith and AJ Brown were really similar last season and had similar target shares and have similar season-long yardage projections. So I'm going to go with Smith here as my stack with Hurts candidate. Second up, let's start at the top. I'm just trying to talk through the wide receiver position a little bit. Of course, we got the studs up top here. Keenan Allen, AJ Brown, Devontae Adams, Jamar Chase, Tyreek. I love Tyreek Hill in that game. Cooper Kupp, love a healthy Cooper Kupp. Justin Jeff, I love all these guys. I love them all. How do you choose? How do you choose? I don't know. Stack the one that matches your QB or game stack. Who can I use as a bring back? But generally, any one of these players can absolutely smash on any given week. Justin Jefferson, very expensive at 8,800, but he could tear it up. I would love to play Justin as sort of a bring back to my my Rashad White exposure. But that's going to leave us very, very thin on salary. So one way to do this would be to go with Justin Jefferson, and then we could play what I consider to be one of our super punts, which I'll talk about in a minute. But one of them is Marvin Mims, who should be starting as the wide receiver two for the Broncos this week, with Jerry Jeudy likely not going to play, right? So if we go with a stud here with our second, we punt it down with Mims, and then you've got 6,800, which would perfectly slot in Joe Mixon, or even, you know, another wide receiver, an elite wide receiver like T. Higgins or somebody like that, right? So this is our, you know, get Lockett or Ridley in there. So lots of options that this leaves us with. The other way to go would be a more middling approach, where rather than put a super stud in there, we could play two value wide receivers that are effectively starters for their team, but a bit underpriced. So let's talk about that, because that's how I kind of want to build this one. So as we continue our way down here, Metcalf and Lockett, you know, both expensive, but rightfully so. I'm not sure that Jackson Smith and Jigba is even playing week one. So one of these guys usually goes off. It's rarely both of them, but one of them almost always goes off, right? We got DeAndre Hopkins with the new team. He should see plenty of targets. T. Higgins is really more somebody I like to use with Burrow. So I probably wouldn't use him as standalone play. Ridley, I'm not sure this is the week to target him, but I do like Olave here, number one wide receiver for his team, should get lots of targets. I really like that one at 6,500. If I'm playing somebody like McLaurin or even his backfield mate, Jahan Dotson, I'm just playing Sam Howell. If I'm going to play an expensive wide receiver that has a dirt cheap quarterback throwing to him, I'm playing the quarterback in that lineup. So it's no. DJ Moore is interesting, but I'll save him for my Fields lineups. Christian Watson, I love, but also makes for a great bring back in your Fields lineup. So keep them in mind. Love it, but not in this one. And the guy I'm going to plug in here is Amari Cooper. He's the WR1 for his team. There's a lot to like about Amari Cooper. WR1 should see plenty of targets. Had a lot of great games last year. 10 targets here, put up a 28 one week, two touchdowns in a small amount of action. So I'd like to see that chemistry form with Cooper and Deshaun Watson. And I think we're going to start to see it right off the bat in this competitive week one game. They're going to have to go there. So I really like that spot for Cooper. Plug him right in. We've got 6,400 left per position, two positions to go. I'm going to look for another sort of bargain priced wide receiver to plug in here, and then we'll fill it out with a stud in the final spot. So one of the standout values actually is Brandon Ayuk for me at 49. I just, it's too inexpensive for who he is as a player. I'm not going to go there just yet. I want to really lock in a number one target in this spot. And the name I'm going with is Mike Williams, 5,700 this week. Now, again, with Williams in there, it gets us a little of that Herbert game exposure. We could always easily pivot a lineup like this to have Herbert at the helm and then, make a few quick adjustments. So that's how I like to build my lineups, but I'm going to plug in Mike Williams. When he's on his game, he usually puts up big numbers. And for some reason, I feel like early in the season, he could be our guy. And I think a nice little bring back here. I'm going to close it out with another running back in Joe Mixon. Although I do want to leave open the possibility. We have enough for Waddle. And Waddle's really interesting, as it would be a nice ping pong correlation with Mike Williams. So if we wanted to correlate a little bit more, we can go up to a Jalen Waddle. But again, kind of feel like I'd want Tua in that lineup or one of their quarterbacks in a lineup like that. So I don't want to get too tied into that game in this lineup, as I will build other lineups built around that particular game. So here we have it. Hurts stacked with Devontae Smith. Nothing from New England. Instead, we went starting running back for cheap, Jamal Williams. Starting running back for cheap, Rashad White. We got Amari Cooper and Joe Mixon from this Cleveland-Cincinnati game. A piece from Cleveland, a piece from Cincinnati. Mike Williams from the highest game team total on the slate. And of course, one of my favorite defenses. I'm excited about it. That's your NFL week one first look lineup. Remember, if you want more of this content or you just want to get signed up at DFS Army right now, we are running our big promo for the preseason. Code NFL23 gets you 15% off either our NFL season long plan or our VIP plan, which covers all sports. Reminder, if you take a look at DFS Army, these are just our NFL tools. Domination Station, Research Station, Cheat Sheets, Showdowns, the Chalkboard, which helps you with your cash entries, right? The Chalkboard, where you get your cash game. We have a cash game breakdowns. You have your Matchups tool, which shows you the different matchups. And this is incredible tool that shows you the DVPs, but adjusted for opponent's strength. There's nothing like it in the industry. You got our power rankings, stack probabilities, all of these incredible tools coming at you, including our first look videos, which you're watching right now. And all of it, you can access it quickly right here in the content matrix over on dfsarmy.com. So make sure you check that out. Hit that like button, subscribe to the channel. We'll be with you all season crushing it. So good luck, everybody. And I'll see you at the top of the leaderboards.